1 John chapter 5, and a wonderful week. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2 with me. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus, the Son of God? Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning as we look at this. Lord, teach us, touch our hearts, and strengthen us, people. Bless your word to our hearts, please. We look into, and Lord, help us to love you more, be more joyful of what you've done for us. You can have a seat there, and we're just going to look at this. And this, tell you why this stands out. I'll tell you verse 4 is my text verse, but I thought we would look at the whole thing here, and I think it's important. When it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So what does it take to be saved? It takes you believing, not agreeing that the Bible's true, although that's important, not just knowing that Jesus exists. That's how most people, if you ask people, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Because in America, you know, most people believe in God. But they use the word believe real flippantly. The word believe means to solely depend upon or rely upon. It means to only put weight upon that one spot. And Jesus is saying, for us to be saved, when you got saved is when you stopped trusting everything else and you placed your faith only in Jesus. Not Jesus plus baptism plus church membership plus you being good plus, plus, plus. Jesus plus anything equals hell. Jesus plus nothing equals heaven. That's a good equation to help remember that. But he said here, whosoever believes solely depends upon Jesus being the Son of God. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says, if you believe or put all of your weight for eternity on Jesus Christ, because he is God in the flesh who died for you, God says, you are born of God. You are born of above. You're born of the Spirit. You're born again. What's sad is people who think, when you say, are you on your way to heaven? And they say, oh, I've always been on my way. No, you were born physically a sinner on your way to hell. And there had to be a day when you were born the second time because you placed your faith in Christ. But it's amazing how many people, that's what we hear sometimes when we go to the door. Well, do you know, are you going to heaven? If you're going to heaven, oh, I've always been on my way to heaven. No, you haven't always been on your way to heaven. There was a time when you had to have stopped trusting everything else and placed your faith in Jesus because you were a sinner and he died for you. And that is the day your direction was changed from you were on your way to hell and now you're on your way to heaven. The word born is born of God, born from above. And that's how come Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. You have to have a water birth, a natural birth, and you have to have a spiritual birth. And I love the old statement, you've heard me say it, born once physically, you'll die twice. You'll die physically and spiritually. But if you've been born twice, physically and spiritually, you only die once. You only die physically, you don't die spiritually. It's very important because most people are, okay, let me hit you. Born is born of God. How much does a baby have to do with its coming into the world? Nothing, right? I mean, from start to finish, it doesn't have anything to do with it. That's why you can't save yourself. That's why your works, it's the same thing. For you to be born of God, God has to do it all. You can't do any of it except what? believe. Believe or solely depend upon. But being born of God means what? I didn't do anything. I didn't get baptized. I didn't join a church. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I believed on Jesus, and that rebirth, what I was changed. That's how come you cannot reform yourself. You cannot change yourself. For you to get to heaven and for me to get to heaven, what I am on the inside has to, it's not added to, it has to be totally recreated or born. And if you're saved, isn't that a beautiful description of what God said? We're born of God. That's how come I couldn't do anything to save me. And that's how come, because I'm born of God, nothing can take it from me. Amen? Now, wait a second. If I was earning my salvation, I guess I see how you could lose it. Because if you stopped doing what you did to earn it, then you wouldn't have it anymore. But if you didn't do anything to earn it, if all you did was receive it, that's why you can't lose it. Because God gave it to me. God changed me. God rebirthed me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a totally new creation. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, let's look at the end of the verse. Verse 1. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. The average Christian, when they read the rest of the verse, you have to really think English when you're reading. We don't talk this way. But wait a second. When you read a professional lawyer's document, you don't talk that way either. But it's proper, isn't it? And what does proper English do? It takes 5 or 6 sentences and it condenses it and says it all in one, right? If you use the right words. Why am I doing this? I hear so many people say, you know, I read the Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. If you read through verse 1, you glance over it, you won't get anything out of it unless you think your way in. You understand? And that's why I'm hoping if I read the Bible with you and I teach you and preach to you, eventually you can get to the point where you can read the Bible. You can think to it like I show. And I hope it's a help to you. Look at the last part of the verse. It says, everyone that loveth him that begat. Okay. Who did the begetting in the first part of the verse? You were born of who? Okay. In this case, we learned that the word begat means to be brought into the world with a future ordination. That's why Jesus is God's only begotten Son. We're born of God, and we're God's children, but we're not God's begotten Son that's going to reign one day. Does that make sense? We're children of God, and it says, everyone that loveth him that begat. So if you love the begetter, God, the one that birthed you, okay, I'm trying to show you how to think into it, then look at the next part of the verse. Him also, okay, everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loves God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Who's begotten of him? My brothers and sisters in Christ. So if I love God because he saved me, God says the natural response to that is to love God's church. That's part of church, right? We all don't have to be best friends, and most of it, spend enough time with somebody, you'll have reason to get frustrated and discouraged with them. We need to be careful about the time we spend with each other. Amen. Brother Howells used to say, don't let independent Baptist preachers do anything more than just go out to eat with each other or they'll kill each other. Okay, well, the same thing's true. In other words, there's personality differences. I understand that. But if I love God, I'm supposed to, something that comes naturally is my love for you. How come? Because I'm not supposed to care what your background is, where you come from, what your culture is. All I need to know is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You want to grow? That's all that should matter to me. Now, I'll find out more about you and where you're from and where you were raised and all that. The biggest part of us loving each other is supposed to be, I love you because of the Christ in you. You have God inside of you because you've trusted him. I have God inside of me. That's the one thing we have in common. We may not have anything else in common, but if I love God, I'll love you. And watch this. You can't love other people without loving God. Can I follow it through with one more logical thought? You don't love other Christian God. The antithesis is true also, the opposite, right? So I'm trying to think my way through the verse. He that loveth, okay, everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You're in 1 John, just go over to chapter 3. Look at verse 14. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It doesn't say he that hates his brother abides in death. It just says if you're apathetic about the church and the people of God, one proof that you're saved, that you passed from eternal death to eternal life, and that God born you again, one way you can know that is because you can enjoy church. I didn't say you got to be the loudest singer here. Nobody's going to sing louder than Brother Garland. Amen. Okay, Brother Garland enjoys that, and you don't have to outsing him to show you're born again. But if you can't enjoy church, 1 John 3:14 says, you have a problem. We know we're saved because of our love. And there's people in here, if you weren't in church and I'd never met you before I got saved, I could have given a right? But what brought us together is that Micah died for, right? And that's my love for you. Is one way, not the only way, one way I know when I can enjoy people. I know nobody in here is perfect. Everybody knows they don't have a perfect pastor. This ain't a perfect church. We have flaws. We're going to disappoint each other. But that is what the love is what gets us, right? You disagree with me, you still have to trust me that I'm not going to hurt you, right? We'll have disagreements, but you have to believe me that I'm not going to teach you something to destroy your life, right? That trust has to be there. The love has to be there as far as, so here we go. Let's go back now to verse chapter 5 and verse 2. By this, now I'm at 1 John chapter 5. So we're born of God when we believe on Jesus. Can I just make one more note? If you had verse 1 and all you did was you think through it. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat. It goes right from believing to loving. It didn't say if you love God, you're born of God. It said if you believe, you're born of God. And then the natural response is what? It's almost like you got to think your way into this. The natural response of you getting saved is some love to God for crying out loud. You mean the one that you created you, that you sinned against, died for you, and was tortured to death for you and rose again. And there's no expression of love. There's no gratitude. There's no awe. No, he that loveth him that begat. Why? Because he believed and he was born of God. Now, what I am has changed. I have to learn to praise God. I have to learn. I understand. Christian life has a lot of disciplines that are learned. Praise the Lord and you grow as a Christian. But if I asked you, when was the last time you told God, thank you, save and I love? When was the last time you told your God, I would think, I'm gonna go out on a far limb here. That is something that does not need to be taught. I can remind you to do that. But if you're born again, the natural, you've heard me say this before, what would you for somebody? How much would you express your gratitude for somebody that took a bullet or pushed you out of the way in the car and got hit in your place? And what would you do for them? Then what would you die for, right? Shouldn't there be some love and some gratitude? That's why when people go, church, it doesn't. I know you can be saved by just simply placing your faith in Christ. Aren't you glad you don't have to come to church to be saved? Amen? But the apathy that is expressed today, I got other things to do and all of that. And I love should be a natural byproduct. Now, watch this. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, comma. He's going to give you two conditions on how you can know you properly love each other. Watch this. When we love God and keep his commandments. Why would God do that? Well, love is love. And I got my way of loving and they got their way of loving. And because proper love is restricted by your love for God. Love, if you don't, now this does have to be taught. Our society teaches lust is love. And if you lust, physical attraction or something like that, oh, I'm in love with them. That's not God's love. God doesn't love you because of how you look or how you act. You're a sinner that hated God before you got saved. God loved you because of who he, not because of who. And proper love says this, if I properly love you, we love God and keep his commandments. That means I have boundaries. Amen. If it's good for a man not to touch a woman, I don't hug all the women in the church. I hug my daughter. I hug my wife. I hug my mom. I shake hands, but I don't hug other men's wives. I know you say other churches that do, and I'm saying I don't want that here because I haven't seen that turn out real. I didn't say it's always sinful. I'm saying I haven't seen it turn out good, and it bothers me. So I have boundaries. If God said in 1 Corinthians 7:1, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, then I greet ladies with a handshake and a smile. I don't greet, oh, good to see you. Whee! Okay, I over-exaggerated. I think you get the point. Okay? I love God first, and my obedience to God counts, and we keep commandments. I have boundaries on what I allow myself to, and I respect because I love God. If I love God, I realize you're made in God's image, just like I am. You need the dignity and respect of being a child of God in God's image. Proper love does that. Love with no, well, I got my way of love, and they got their, no. By this, we know we love the children of God. When you have boundaries, proper, it's wonderful to have a holy, pure love for God's people. Whether they're male or the younger women, we're supposed to treat like what? Sister. The older women, like mothers, okay? Mrs. Wilkins, hi, Mom. Okay. And the wait a second. But in a family, in God's family, that tells you how to. In other words, I don't tell a woman, hey, I love you. I always say, my wife and I love, right? Because there's a propriety there. I would never tell a teenage girl, hey, I love you. I would say, my wife and I would say, Shelby, my wife and I love. That's comfortable. What am I doing? That's boundaries that I've set for myself in my love for God's people. I love God. Notice 3. I'm trying to talk your way through this so you can see something. Watch this. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is not for me to tell how much you love God, but you can tell how much you love God this morning by how much you care about keeping his commandments. And you don't love God more than you obey. It's impossible. You only love God as much as you obey, period. And if you want to love God more, then obey God more. And if you love God more, you will obey. Watch this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And what a wonderful verse God puts in here. And his commandments are not grievous. Now you get into American Christianity. And God's fine as long as, okay, he saved me, that's great. But I don't want my lifestyle changing. His commandments are not grievous. You can tell how much you love God by how much God is in, not in. And do you have to come to church this morning, or did you get to, well, Sunday again, time to go to church? Your attitude towards the things of God shows your love. And if you're enduring it and putting up with it, right now it is 16 minutes till Baptist salute. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you. Have you ever noticed when your heart's like that, you don't get nothing out of church? You endure it till it's over, and then what's really important? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, good grief, are we going to live here? Read the book of Acts, and they met daily. Well, I just want New Testament Christian. No, you don't. Would you? That would be neat, though. Maybe we ought to do that one week. Just meet every day here. Talk about overload. Did you know in some countries, when you go to preach, it's neat preaching in third world countries. Because then they'll say, okay, what time am I done? You got all day. You can preach for 3 hours and nobody moves. And I understand medical. Don't do that. I'm saying with America, we have so many distractions and so many things other than God to put our lives. If we aren't careful, his commandments become unto you. I'm so glad David could say, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I love it when God tells me what to do and what not to do. I know God's boundaries. I know how to please God because of his word. It's not grievous to me. My attitude towards the Lord, I love when I'm always putting up with it. It's like, come on, faster, monkey. Okay, invitation, come on. Come on. There's no spirituality. There's no love for God. I got a life to live, and this is in the way. His commandments are not grievous. I'm trying to give you a way of thinking through this. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That verse just kept on coming to my mind over and over again. Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The word overcometh is used 2 times in the verse. The word overcome, I know that we use it to win, you know, be an overcomer. The word overcomer means one who overcomes and vanquishes the enemy so that it doesn't exist anymore. God says, whosoever is born of God, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, he has given you victory over the world. What world? You're in 1 John. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Just look at chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's not talking about the earth, the globe of the earth. It's talking about the system that is here that tells you what is acceptable and what's not acceptable, what's in, what's out, what's fashionable, what's not fashionable. That world cosmos system that, okay, that tells you what's okay, it's the world. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That world that hates us, that's strong. What we're doing this morning, gathering around the Bible and hearing the preaching and teaching of God's word, has always been foolishness to them, the world. It always will be until they get saved. And to us, that's us, them are out there, that's the world. To us, it's the power of God. This was God's idea, preaching, that a man preach his word filled with his spirit to his people. That's God's plan, right? The world goes, church, I got better things to do. They have their churches. They got their nightclubs, their dances. They got their gambling centers. They have their places of assembly, and they do it for their cause. No, they gather. We gather because of what God's done for. Watch this. It says here, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, them, the system. This morning, as this verse has helped me this morning, if you're not living in victory this morning because you're a Christian, it's not because God didn't. It's because your attitude. God's already given you victory over the world. That tells me nothing in the world should be getting me down. Amen? Nothing. You say, man, there's a lot of garbage happening. There may be, but I've already been given victory over it. And what is the victory over the world? What's the end of the verse say? Our faith. When I trusted Jesus my Savior, that same world that hates us, says the world, marvel not if the world hate you. It says that in 1 John. It says it in John 4. We'll look at a few places this morning. That world God loved and died for, right? He loved them enough to die for. And God doesn't say, hate the world. I don't hate. I'm just not supposed to love it and follow it. Right? It's not supposed to call the shots. I've already been given victory. How has God given me victory over the world? What is that victory? Take your Bible to John 17. Look at the Lord's Prayer for us as His children. John chapter 17. Now, we went from 1 John all the way back to John. All right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 17. And look at verse 16. Ready? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When you got saved, you were made a child of God. I don't know if that's the only verse you knew. I'm not of this world. Let me just follow that thought through. I don't belong. I should always feel out of, because I'm not of this world anymore. I got born again. Amen? This world should always seem weird and harsh and out of place, and nothing fits for me because I'm not of this world. As Jesus, I am not Jesus. I'm not going to be Jesus one day, but I am going to be like Him. Amen. I should always feel uncomfortable in the world. We went to the mall, you know, when I got out of the hospital, and Brother Ross and Dave took me to the thing. There were so many people in the mall there, but man, I was dying for a. Was that? No, that's when they took me up for. I was freshly out of the hospital, but I said, man, I want a Chipotle burrito. I want one of them burritos wrapped in a car tarp. Amen. I mean, huge. All right. And so we went there. But to go into that mall and look at all of them dying, going to hell. Nobody, and they really think every days go on just like they always do. They don't know the bridge is out. I just walk through the mall. You know, I'm struggling to breathe. You know, I'm just trying to make it. But I remember just going, I should always out of place in the world because I'm not of. How did Jesus give you victory over this world? He saved you out of this world, right? And now you no longer, this isn't my dwelling place. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up, right? Fun song to sing. But this world is not my home, and I don't belong here. One day I'm going home where God lives. Look at the next thing. How did Jesus give me victory over this world? That's verse 16. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they, here we go again, are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If you read Second Corinthians, it says, we are the off-scouring or the sewage of the world. There's stuff all over the internet. Church is a waste of time, organized religion. There's vile hatred out there. To them, we are sewage. You understand? The world will hate us. I'm thankful when I go into public. Now, it's not like when Jesus was here. Christians were, you know, about three decades, took about 30 years, and they were being thrown to the lions and burned as fire yard torches in Nero's backyard, covered with tar and then lit on fire. So I'm glad it's not that bad, okay, here. But I know the tolerance of Christianity is getting less and less. Christians don't want to get vaccinated. Those Christians are stopping the Christians don't want, if you're, now with the racism, you're a male white Christian, boy, what was it? One person in Texas was just refused hospital treatment because he's white. I'm just saying that the world is always going to downplay Christianity. Jesus said so. It's been that way for 2000, right? But it'll go up and down. How did Jesus give me victory over the world? He saved me out of that world. Number next, look at verse 18. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. How did Jesus give me victory over the world? He sent me to the world to help them get saved. I have a new purpose. Well, I'm just trying to find myself. And I just need to find my cause for living. You already have one. You've been sent into the world just like Jesus. If you're a saved child of God, you were sent here to this world that you are not of to get them saved. We're not going to save the world, but we're saving individuals out of the world and inviting them to church after they get saved, right? You say, how did Jesus give you victory over this world? How did he help you overcome? I have a new purpose. I thought my purpose in life was supposed to make as much money as I can, pay off my house, make sure that I have, you know, three cars and whatever the American dream is supposed to be. That used to be my goal till I got saved. Then when I got saved, I found out I'm not here for him. Here, I know my purpose. And isn't it wonderful? A Christian's the only one that knows where he comes, knows where he's going, and knows when he gets there. Amen? I have sent them into this world even as Jesus has sent. One more thing. How did Jesus give me victory over this world? Look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Okay, stop. Aren't you glad the moment you trusted Jesus, you weren't sent to heaven in a tube, like just, you know, like those mail tubes, you know. And it's just, okay, you trust Jesus as your Savior. Okay, let's pray and trust Jesus, and then you're gone. Okay, and I'll move on to the next one. God didn't take you out of this world when he saved you. He left you here to represent him. And then watch this. He said, I pray not that thou wouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. I have those words underlined in my Bible. Keep me from the evil. While I'm here in this world that I'm not a part of, whatever goes on out there, all I need to do is focus on the Lord, and he keeps me from that evil. Amen? And that means, that doesn't mean nothing bad's ever going to happen to me, and I'm never going to have a car wreck, and I'm never going to lose a child, and an untimely death. It doesn't mean that my life is void of tragedy. It just means whatever they do out there, I'm an overcomer, and I can live in victory because when it does happen, it's because God planned it. How did God give me and you victory over this world? By knowing when I'm living for God, nothing's going to happen in God's timing. If the flat tire does happen on the highway, then it must be somebody I'm supposed to witness to that God's trying to help cross my path. Everything happened. I'm God's servant. If you're saved and you're giving yourself, you're God's servant. You're there for a purpose. I may not fully see it all. How did God keeps me from the evil of this world, and this helps me because there's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot of sick people out there. And I mean, I'm amazed at the, well, okay, you're in, if you got your finger in 1 John, look at 1 John chapter 5. Look at the verse 19 there where we were reading at. 1 John 5, 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth. I didn't see that when I first got saved. Because, see, we're taught that Hinduism teaching, well, now there's good in everybody has good in themselves. And all, we're sinners, our hearts desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. We're born liars. We desperately need Jesus. No, I have no hope but God. There is no good in me. For Romans chapter 7, there's nothing good in me. That's all Hinduism teaching. The only good in me, the only good I can, is what I yield to Him, be a blessing. That's it. That's it. How did Jesus give you and me victory over the whatever happens out there, evil? Jesus said, just praying for you and I. The world is going to blow a cork. They're going to murder people die every day of every week of every month of every year. It's been that way since creation. It's man rebelled against God. There's death every day. God didn't make the world this way, but now I'm not of this world. I really don't about in the world. That victory, God's given us victory. When you have faith enough to leave the Bible about what God said about salvation, trust the Lord, you come an overcomer, a victorious Christian. Let me end with this thought. What has God given you? God says, I'd like you to take your Bible. Let's end this morning with going with Romans chapter 8. Well, number one, this morning, what has God given me? My sins are forgiven because I'm saved. If that doesn't amaze you, tomorrow, take out a piece of paper in the morning and write down all day long every dirty thought, every time you say something you shouldn't have said, every time you do something you shouldn't do, and at the end of the day, think, wow, all of that, every day, for all of my life, is under the blood of Jesus. The only reason we're not amazed at that is because we think we're pretty good. All my sins are forgiven. I'm going to spend eternity with my Heavenly Father. I'll never go to hell when I die. I'm an overcomer. I've trusted Jesus. What else has God done for you and me? I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, an heir of God. Look at Romans 8:17. You're in Romans, and we'll end with Romans chapter 8 this morning. Look at verse number 17. It says here, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, if you ever get a hold of that, an heir is someone who has an inheritance. As a child of God, I have things that God's going to give me one day that I'm supposed to be living. Then it says joint heirs with. That means what God's going to give Jesus, I get some of. If you're saved, amen? He's got a kingdom coming. We're going to rule and reign with Him, right? He's in an eternal body. He's going to give me one. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The world knows nothing of this. How did God make you a victor? All right, pin down just a few more things here. It says, I can pray anytime for any need I have. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts, okay, look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know what that means? I can pray any time to God about my needs, and if I pray the wrong prayer, the Holy Spirit intercepts or intercedes that prayer and turns it into a prayer that's the will of God and prays it to the Lord for me. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I can take all of my needs to the Lord. How about this? Two more things, and right here. Okay, see, I'll keep, okay. I can pray anytime, and you've heard me say this before. How am I an overcomer of the world? I used to be Satan's zoo toy. He had access to me anytime he wanted. Now Satan only has access to me. He can't do it without God. And if God doesn't think I can handle it, God won't. Amen? That's how I'm an overcomer. Look at Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How else did God make you and me an overcomer? This way, if you'll just love God, He makes everything else. There's things I can't know why they happen. I'm not going to decide if why was love God a promise in the Bible. Amen. Why did the accident happen? Why did the house burn? Why did this? I don't know. Of God is good. Overcomer, victory this morning. If I'll keep one more thing, look at Romans 8, verse 18. I hope you mark this and think about it, and we'll close this. For I reckon, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with glory. We realize this morning, why would I preach a message like this? It encouraged me. It's helped me. All this, God wants you. If you'll focus on what God's done for you and what God's going to do for you, it helps you. It is a sin-cursed earth. We live in a sin-cursed body. We have to live here. We're not of this world. So how do we make it? Keep focusing on what God's done for you, child of God. You're born of God if you're saved. And what He's going to. And God says, if you keep your eyes on what God's going to, it's not even worthy. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful verse? Little verses all through Romans 8. I tell you what, Let's really close with this one. I was going to mostly close with that one. Let's go to verse 32. Ready? Okay, Romans 8:32. Ready? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How are you an overcomer? I'm victorious as a Christian. If God would die for me, he loves to ask God, what would he? Why does it? God says, I died for you. What? You can ask more than I can handle? I got it all. Freely, all things. What are your needs? What are yours? What do you need to help you? Why does it? Victorious, overcoming. Amen. God's helped you. I hope this encourages you like it encourages me. Father, thank you for this truth. I wish, please.